ceremonial purification. In the book of Leviticus, God had said that when a child is born, that a woman couldn't go in with the, into the temple for a period of time. And it's because she would still be bleeding from the childbirth. And so if it was a boy, she was to hold back for 40 days. And so we now have a 40-day period that's passed. So on the 41st day from the birth of Jesus, they would go to the temple, and she'd go through a purification ceremony, and they present their child before the Lord, because he was the firstborn son, and God had said the firstborn sons belong to the Lord. And what they would do is they would buy him back, if you would. They would give a price, 5 shekels would be the price to buy the boys back, the firstborn children. It was recognizing that the firstborn was not killed. You remember the Egyptian Exodus? Remember how the firstborn of all the children died? Well, it was a way of reminding them about that. And so they went through and did all this. And to do that, they had to go to the temple in Jerusalem. And as they go into the temple in Jerusalem, they meet up with this guy whose name is Simeon. What do you know about Simeon? Well, let me tell you, we don't know what he did, because it doesn't say. We don't know what his background was. We don't know what his family was. Simeon, one of the 12 was named Simeon, but Simeon was a common name. It'd be sort of like John in our day. It's a common name that people heard all the time. Nothing said really special about him other than the fact that he lived in Jerusalem. But you know what? That is neat, because that's sort of the way God is. God doesn't require a special pedigree. He doesn't require you to have a special job. He'll use anybody who walked with him. And so Simeon was a guy who walked with him. And God can use anybody if we do like Simeon did in his life. Let me tell you about the qualifications he had for this task that God gave him. Because he's one of the ones that gives us one of the 5 Christmas, original Christmas songs. They're there in Luke. Have you noticed all 5? There's the song that Zacharias sang about John the Baptist who was coming before. There's the song of Mary, there's the song of Elizabeth, there's the song of the angels, and finally, this finishes out that 5 set of Christmas, first Christmas carols in the Gospel of Luke that we have presented here for us. And so this is what this man's life was like. This is what we know. We don't know what he did, but we know what his character was like. In verse 25, it says these things about him. First, it says that he was righteous or just and devout. That means that he's a guy who really walked with the Lord. He didn't just know about the Lord. He walked with the Lord. The same words are used for Zacharias and Elizabeth. They're people who just didn't know about the Lord. They just weren't religious. They're people who had a deep relationship with the Lord. They had that righteous means that they've been, taken by the Lord and they've been... They had a special relationship with, covenant relationship with him. And they're devout. That means it wasn't just something they did because it's the religious thing to do. They did because it was part of their life. And they loved the Lord. And so here we have him, unique quality about him. Not only that, he was waiting on God. See, he had studied the Scriptures, and he knew the Old Testament. That was the Scripture of their day. And he knew the book of Isaiah, because he says things that come out of Isaiah. And so he had read the Scriptures, and he was looking for Jesus to come. This is part of his life. He's waiting on God. You ever waited? You ever go to a doctor's office and wait? Al's the only guy I know of who's ever been to a doctor's office and hadn't had to wait. Everybody else I know of, they go to a doctor's office, they just sit and wait. And waiting's not easy for us in America. We have instant grits. We want stuff fast. And waiting is hard. How long had he been waiting? Probably most of his adult life since he understood that the Messiah was coming. And he, like all others, were waiting for God to do things. Part of our life is waiting. Waiting. Waiting for the Lord. But he was waiting for this particular thing. He expected God to fulfill his promise. I find a lot of people who God drops promises to them and they get tired of waiting. And eventually they give up. Don't give up. Wait on the Lord. And he had a relationship with God by the Holy Spirit. I mean, God talked to him in his heart. It's interesting what it says here in verse 25, where it says, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Spirit, Holy Spirit was upon him. And notice the next verse. I mean, because of this great relationship with him, God had done some extra special things. And look, his special relations was, he was a faithful man. He was a person who was faithful, devout and righteous and devout. He was a person of hope, and he was a person walking in fellowship with the Lord. And because he was walking in fellowship with the Lord, look what the Lord did for him. The Lord gave him an extremely important thing. He gave him a personal prophecy. Look at the personal prophecy that he gave him. It's kind of interesting. Verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Christ. That wasn't Scripture. Right? That was the Spirit of God speaking to his heart about the present day situation. That he would actually see the Messiah before he would die. And so God spoke into his heart. I think that's kind of neat. I think the reason God did that is because this is an extremely important thing in our lives. Our walk with God. It's the most important thing of our life. We sometimes lose that. Because we're so busy making a living. We're so busy trying to help relationships with others. We're so busy doing so many other things in life. We forget the most important thing is our relationship with God. Everything else should spill over from that. Well, with that, he got this great personal prophecy. And let me just share with you a little bit about what I think about personal prophecies and those. I think they're interesting when God does this. They're fulfilled because, at least in his life, it was fulfilled because he was submissive to the movement of the Holy Spirit. I mean, he showed at the temple at the right time. It wasn't like they sent out a news broadcast that at such and such an hour, Mary and Joseph are going to be taking Jesus, who is the Messiah of the world, into the temple. He heard it on the radio, or maybe he got a flash call on a flash on his phone, you know, and showed up at the same. That didn't happen in their day. They don't have that activity. The Spirit of God impressed in his heart for him to go. How do you get that? Sometimes God just grabs us and speaks to us. We heard about that today. You know, with Melinda's mom, God just somehow worked in her. But I think he's wanting to do that with us a whole lot of times. How do you get to where you're sensitive to the Spirit of God and is moving? Do you know? Well, part of it is to be obedient and submissive to the things we know that God's called us to do in the Word. If we're obedient in doing the things we know and allow Him to speak into our lives about that, then we get used to hearing Him speak to us. It's a very quiet voice. He's not going to yell at us. And so many times people miss the Spirit of God speaking to them because they're really involved in other things. The radio's always on. They've always got earbuds in, listening to something going on. The TV's always playing. Something's always taking place. And they don't have time to be quiet and listen to God. I think many times God's spoken to people and they've been so occupied they don't even hear. They're wanting an earthquake, a fiery bush. They're wanting something to happen. Waters to part. They're wanting something to take place to know that God's going to do it. But God doesn't speak that way to us. He speaks through His Word by Spirit to our hearts and then personally to us on some issues. It's not a matter of knowing how, it's a matter of your obedient submission to Him, to knowing what God says. See, He was a faithful person. We know that. That word, righteous and devout, means He was faithful in following what God had said. We need to be the same way. It's not just hearing God's Word, but it's doing it. You know? And the hard part of that is that sometimes I don't want to do it. Do you have that too? I mean, I know what God says, but there's a little selfish part of me that wants to not do that. And so, sometimes I need the help of the Spirit of God working in my life to do these things the way that it should be done. I mean, He tells us things. What He wants us to do are not hard. You know, they're really not hard. You already know them. They're things like loving your neighbor as yourself. But sometimes my neighbors are kind of rough. You know who your neighbor is, right? Anybody who's around you. Sometimes my neighbors, I don't want to love them. I sometimes need help. Don't store up treasures for yourselves here on earth where moth and rust destroy. That's a big hard one for us in America, right? Because all of us have more stuff in our homes than we need, don't we? And we tend to just accumulate and get. We just need to sit before the Lord and ask, do I need this? Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Easy to be judgmental about people. Easy to come down on folks. We don't like what they're doing, so we just blast them. Oh, we don't talk it out loud. But the problems I have aren't the ones I do out loud. They're the stuff that goes on in my head. Don't worry about tomorrow. Boy, it's real easy to maybe not worry about tomorrow, but worry about next week or next month or 3 months from now, much less tomorrow. And it's easy to get involved in worry. Don't look at another person lustfully. We understand that. But our society, that's sort of the mantra of the society, to look at people lustfully. Give generously to those in need. Give as it's been given to you. All those things, we understand those. It's not a matter of us being educated more. It's a matter of us following through on the Lord's way. But I got to tell you this. If you'll go before the Lord and say, Lord, I really want to follow you. I want your Spirit to direct me as I'm walking in my life today. I know all these things that you've told me to do. Would you prompt my heart so that I might walk in your way? And if you do that, I'm going to tell you what will happen. The Spirit of God will prompt you. Now, He is wonderful. He could come upon us and just say, you lousy person, look, you missed it on this, 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 and this. But I've never found the Spirit of God to do that. I found the Spirit of God to take one issue, and He'll stick with me on that one issue. And He'll say, and I'll go, yeah, okay, I messed up. I'm sorry. Forgive me, I want to walk properly. Help me by your grace to do this. And then we'll deal with that one issue. And then as I pray it again, you know what happens? Another issue comes up. And He'll get me on the issue. And it's usually an attitude that I'm carrying around. Other people have no idea what's going on. But if I'm open to Him and allow Him to do that, that makes me sensitive, do you understand, to His working within my life. And then, when those important things come where He wants us to speak a word to a person, when those important things come where He wants us to go and do something, we'll understand about that because we've been used to asking Him to work within our hearts and prompt us. And so this great day came when, it says it here. It's kind of an interesting statement. In the Greek, it's kind of an interesting configuration of words. It says in verse 27, so He came by the Spirit into the temple. That word in the Spirit is used for prophets who are given God's word and given great visions, but here it's used for this man who was told by God to get up and go to the temple that day. And there's no indication he had ever met Mary or Joseph or seen Jesus. Yet look what the next verse says. It's just really neat. And when the parents brought in the Christ child to do for Him according to the custom of the law, he, that Simeon, took Him up in his arms. So they're coming in, Simeon's there, all of a sudden the Spirit of God moves in his heart and he just goes over and he picks this baby up. It's kind of neat. See, if we allow the Spirit of God to move in us to do His Word, what His Word teaches, that'll teach us to hear Him in our hearts. That'll teach us how He'll speak to us. Because it's important to have Him speak to us. He does that. He's always done that with His people, if we simply let Him. And He had a great privilege of this prophecy to fulfill it. If we allow Him to work in us, then in those simple things, we'll be ready to hear when He speaks to us about something in the moment. And that's what we hear about. But it comes because we've been trained. Well, then Simeon gives us forth this song. And there's several different strands in this song. I like to run through the strands with you because I think they're kind of neat. Verse 29, he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Now, it's first a worship thing as he's just thanking the Lord for his what he's done. I mean, he sees what God has done for him. He's seen God's faithfulness. Isn't it neat when you find God's faithfulness? You know, I mean, it's neat to hear today of God's faithfulness to Melinda's mom, wasn't it? As God took care of things. And God continually provides for us and helps us as we go before Him. It was a worship song. It's also a salvation song. It carries forth the idea of salvation. He says, For my eyes have seen your salvation. And it's not only that, it's this great concept within him. Now that he's seen his salvation, he's ready to go. I mean, he's so satisfied with this, he says, Now, Lord, I'm ready to die. It'd be kind of interesting. When would you feel totally satisfied where, okay, I'm ready to die now. Done everything I need to do. That's amazing, isn't it? That he goes, got this little baby. Now I'm ready to go, Lord. You've allowed me to see what you said I'd see. I've seen. I'm ready to go. And I love the word that he uses, depart, because that's a neat word, because that's how he talks about death. Listen to what he says. Now you're letting your servant depart in peace. Talking about dying. That word's a special word in the Bible. It's used numerous times in the New Testament for our dying. You know what it means? It means to untie a ship and let it set sail. That's depart. That's what the word means. In the Greek, it also means to take down a tent. That's kind of an interesting situation, isn't it? And it means to release a servant from his duty. Okay, you finished. Now go. We don't look at death like that. I mean, our world tends to filter us to where we look at death as something that's terrible. But the Scripture says death has lost its sting. It's great, because death just simply allows us to move on to the next part of life, which is with the Lord. Peter Marshall told a story on the day that Pearl Harbor was bombed. He spoke at the Naval Academy, where he knew the boys were going to be going out, many of them, to die. He told the story about how when a person is in the mother's womb, they're living, but they don't know life to its fullest. And on the traumatic day when they finally are thrust into this world, it's a different world, but all of a sudden they get to live life fully. He said, some of you will die, but you don't need to fear death. Because when you go to be with the Lord, if you know Him, the same enhancement that happened in your life when you moved from womb to world will be magnified many, many times over when you move from world to heaven. It's great. We don't need to be scared of dying. I mean, you know, I'm not taking a group today. But He's got purpose for us. That's why He leaves us here. He's got purpose for us. We have to fulfill those purposes, you know? Because our life is to serve Him. And when we serve Him, then He says, okay, and we go home. That's great. But departing, it's not a scary thing. It's going on to finish out throughout eternity things He's got for us to do. Because you understand, we're not going to be sitting on clouds playing guitars. We're going to be actively involved in doing something. What? I don't think He tells us, because I don't think we have the brain capacity to understand. I don't think there's anything that allows us to get a fix on what we're going to be doing, because we just wouldn't understand it. In Revelation, I'm digressing. In Revelation, He says that He has a name that nobody knows. Well, when He was born, He had a name that people knew. What was the name? Jesus. And what does Jesus mean? The Lord is Savior. You know, His name showed forth what He was going to do during His earthly time. But He's got a name in heaven that we don't know. Nobody knows. The reason is because we don't know yet what that's going to be. We don't have any idea what we're going to do. But when we get there, we get clued in. How the timeline runs, I don't know. He hadn't let me understand that. But I tell you what, I'm excited about when that happens. You know, Paul writes those crazy words that are in Philippians. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. Well, Simeon's so excited about this. You know, okay, I'm ready to die. God, you've fulfilled what you said you were going to do for me. And it's a mission song. Look how it goes. Not only does he say, my eyes have seen your salvation, in verse 31 he says, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Boy, to have a Jewish man at this point in juncture speaking about God reaching out to the world is kind of unusual. Because the world had beat them down. And most Jews hated the Roman occupation and hated any Gentile. But here he's seeing, moving beyond that, that God's doing. You know why he saw that? You know what he's quoting from? He didn't quote exactly. You know what he's taking this from? From Isaiah. Because Isaiah talks again about God reaching out and bringing a life that'll spread out to everybody. This man's a man who knows the Scriptures and he understands what God's doing. That God's going to move in the whole world, not simply in the nation of Israel. And Mary and Joseph are blown away by this. I mean, can you imagine the hit they've had? Here they get the baby born in the place where the animals are. And then all of a sudden these shepherds come and say, hey, we were in our field and keeping the sheep, and these angels appeared and said the Savior's been born. Well, they already knew what his name meant. And all of a sudden now here these know. And now here they are, and Simeon, who they don't, all just picked up this boy. I mean, I imagine they're just going, what's taking place here? And then Simeon, under the Spirit of God's direction, starts prophesying. He blesses the family. Notice that's what the verse says in verse 33. It says, and Joseph and Mary marveled at the things which were spoken. Then Simeon blessed them. We don't know what he said. We don't know what that blessing was, but he blessed them, gave them a blessing. And then after that, and said to Mary, his mother. And this is what he said to her. He prophesied. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel. The fall, humbling themselves, recognizing that they need the Savior. They need the provision of Jesus. And the rise, well, being lifted up again by the Lord in that new experience of salvation. He's talking salvation here. Jesus is going to bring that. And so he's prophesying about this child. He's appointed for this. This is why he's called Messiah, the Anointed One. This is what he's going to do. And he said, and a sign that is opposed. I mean, from the very get-go, they're being told there's going to be problems here. Because not everybody's going to rejoice at this birth. Not everybody's going to be happy with this one. Do you know, when Jesus was walking the earth, they basically said that he was illegitimate. They called him an illegitimate child in John chapter 8, verse 41. When he did miracles, you know what some of them said? You're doing it by the power of Satan in Matthew chapter 12. His character was questioned in John chapter 8. He was called a sinner. He was called by some a guy who hangs out with thieves and sinners and prostitutes. And he's a wine bibber. His character was questioned. He was slandered in his death. They made fun of him as he hung on the cross. They lied about his resurrection. And today, they malign the fact that he's going to come again. We all knew that those things were going to take place, but he's going to be a sign. He even continues to our day that he was going to be having people oppose him. And then he said to Mary, a sword, and the word that's used there is not a little dagger, but it's a broadsword, a big, long sword. A sword is going to pierce your own soul. It's going to be a great cost for Mary. We think of the great privilege she had, but there was a price because her son was going to die and she was going to have to watch it. She was going to feel the break that it was going to make between her and him, and then feel the horrible, horrible pain of watching him die for her sins and our sins. And then he says these last words, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's an interesting word, the thoughts, because it means the hostile thoughts. The bad thoughts of many will be revealed. You see, people's reaction towards Jesus' ministry, both in the past and the present, show how they respond to God. Kind of rough when we think of how people deal with the thoughts of the Lord Jesus today. Great opportunity for us to reach out and share His love with them. Well, how does this affect us? Well, first of all, the first way it affects us is we need to follow Simeon's example of walking with the Lord. I mean, he was a faithful person. He was a person of hope. And he's a person who had a real close fellowship with God by the Holy Spirit through his submissive obedience to the direction of the Spirit of God. May it be that we live our lives that way. May it be that you live your life that way. And I want us to, especially as we look at this, focus on the mission song. That you prepared this salvation in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. We're going to start another 40-day of prayer. Anna, thanks for sharing about that today. We're going to start that as we start off the week. So I hope you came maybe, or if you didn't, you can think of two people, acquaintances who don't walk with the Lord. And it can be a friend, it can be somebody at work, it can be people in your neighborhood, it can be anybody you know, family members, folks that don't walk with the Lord, and you want to pray for them. I'd ask you to get two of them. And then I also want to ask you to find somebody, think of somebody who you don't know personally, but who doesn't walk with the Lord. So I've got two people that I know in my life, and I've got one person who I've never met, and I'm praying for them, that they might walk with the Lord. Sorry, ask a question.
If you've never met them, how do you know you're supposed to be praying for them?
Because you can tell pretty much by the tenor of a person's life.
Okay, gotcha.
If they know the Lord or not, you know, I mean, if they're constantly taking His name in vain and constantly just, you know, putting down people who walk with God, you have a pretty good idea that maybe they don't know Him. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to judge him. I'm just praying for him. I want him to come to know him. So I've got these three people. What we're going to be doing is sending out to you different banners every week. And we're going to be pointing, these are all going to be pointing to verses, and we're going to pray the verses. So the banner for the day is this one. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So today, we're going to have you pair up with somebody in just a minute and pray for your people. And again, we don't have a formula for this. We just throw these things up, giving you ideas. So I hope you take the idea and then keep running with it and don't just pray the little thing and finish. But this is just the beginning where we pray and ask God to work in their life. I'll put that back up in a minute. And then the second thing I want you to do is pray about a need that they might have. The people that I know certain needs that are in their life. I know that their lives are they've hit the wall in some relationship areas, and things are disastrous for them. And so I'm praying about those areas. Another one's financially just, so I'm praying about those areas. So you pray about needs that they have. And if you don't know needs, it's okay. Ask the Spirit of God. Ask Him to impress your heart with what to pray. We're hoping in this time again that we can encourage you to seek Him and have Him move within your mind to give you ideas. But we want you to pray not just, Lord, bless them. Lord, be good to them. He's going to do that. We want you to pray specifically. All right? So specific things. And then finally, I want to ask you to pray a blessing for your friend every day. We'll be giving you some helps along the way. But a blessing. And don't just say bless them. Because I want you to pray specifically a blessing for them. So those are the things we're going to do. So what I'd like you to do right now, for the next 5 minutes, is I want you to link up with somebody here, and I'd just like for you to pray for 2 plus 1, okay? If you don't have the people in mind yet, that's okay. ask the Lord to give you some thoughts on that. All right? But would you do that? Would you break up with another person? Guys with guys, gals with gals, let's break up right now.